15:26. And I will finish with using the 12th chapter of Hebrews. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he also shall bear witness, because he has been with me from the beginning. Father, give us wisdom. Help us to understand your word. Help us to take practical knowledge from it that we can live with. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask you to make a blessing for someone in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Comforter's come, I've been the last two or three weeks that I've still been dealing with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and what we ought to be looking for when you're coming from that. It's a wonderful thing. We have the Holy Spirit within us.
Amen.
And one of the comforts I have is that they help the apostles remember everything right. And that's how you got a Bible. That's true.
Yeah.
It's not having any errors in it. And you can trust it. I've bet my soul and my eternity that the Bible is the truth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
And if you don't have Him, you don't have salvation.
Right.
And it's not your good works that will get you into heaven or make you pleasing to God. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your account.
Amen.
So when the Comforter comes, he's going to remember, going to remind you of a lot of things. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. I think I stopped at verse 11 the last week. And this is my last Sunday for this to be taught. So, take a look. Wherefore, lift up hands which hang down. You know, people going around with a frown on their face and a burden on their heart, and they just can't hardly lift themselves up.
Right.
Can't stand straight. The Holy Spirit of God wouldn't take that as a very good testimony. Yeah. Lift your hands up.
Amen.
Put on a little positive attitude.
Yeah.
Claim some of the promises. This book is full of promises.
Amen.
And there's promises that you need, and you won't have them if you don't read and find them. But they're there. And some of you can hang on to for yourself.
Amen.
You can say, I can claim that. Well, for simple, how about salvation? I heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever,
that's a big word, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, whosoever, I can write Lendell Kincaid in there. Yeah. You can do that to that promise and to every other promise that's to the child of God. Amen. You need to be reading your Bible so you can run onto those promises. Amen. Well, bless your heart. Hebrews chapter 12 said, lift up hands which hang down. Come on, have a good spirit. Are you saved? Yeah. Your sins are forgiven? You are blessed with the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to heaven when you die, and you're sure of it. You ought to be happy every day of your life. Now, I'll admit sometimes the pain of a headache or a toothache or whatever will get to us. And some of us have some very serious diseases that wipe us out sometimes. But even then, the promises of God, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not going through it by yourself. You're going through it with the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, teaching you. Pay attention.
Amen.
Pay attention. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Oh, man, I can just see you just barely making it in. No. Stand up with a little bit of courage. Stand up with an attitude. Come on, put some energy out into the life that you're living for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
and make straight paths for your feet. Now, what do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about everybody that's going to follow you. You say, nobody's following me. Oh, yeah. Do you have a testimony? Did anybody know that you claim to be a Christian? They're watching you. They're watching you big time. They're going to see what kind of words you use. Do you cuss when you're at work? Do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you cheat? What kind of person are you? Well, somebody is looking at you. You may not think so. You may not think, I'm not that important. I'm not that big. You carry the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. You go to church on Sunday. They think you are a Christian, and that's what the testimony is. Why don't you act like one? Put a little effort out. Put a little effort out. Clean up your language. Quit your gossip. Quit your cussing and fussing. Hey, you can quit smoking and drinking. I think that's a good thing. Now, I know a lot of people wouldn't think that way, but that's my thinking. My thinking is you're a whole lot better off without it. So make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. There are people that are so much weaker than you, and they are followers. Believe it or not, that's the truth. You are being watched all the time by an awful lot of people. And so why not make your testimony standard? Act like you belong to Christ. And don't be ashamed to confess Christ. Carry a track or two in your pocket. You might be able to give one to someone. I know several people that were saved because they picked up a gospel track. Marty took a track by our house. She kept it 4 years. 2 years. Okay. I lied. She kept it 2 years. She come up here, and when we were having a meeting, talk about a slow learner. Took her 2 years to make it to the church. But she did. She made it, and she sat down right beside Cindy Schreiner. Well, Cindy Schreiner just led her to the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Amen. She'd been going, man, how long you been saved? 40-something years. Well, that's a long time. Praise the Lord. There are people following you. There are people seeing how you talk, what you say, where you go, what you have, what you do at the party, at the work. Well, I tell you what. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Because you got a people lame following you, be healed. Now look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men. That's a difficult one. There's some people it's hard to have peace with them. But you are a person of peace. Christ is a person of peace. Yes, he is. Jesus Christ wants to gather the whole world together, forgive their sins, and save them for all eternity. That's what we've been doing. It's what I've been doing for 67 years. Trying to find several of those that want to go to heaven and spend heaven with Jesus and a place where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. Goodness gracious. Sounds like a good place to me. Amen. Sounds a lot better than what we got right here. Amen. Look at the news. You'll get depressed. And he said, wars and rumors of wars, they've been happening during the time of Christ, and they've been happening ever since Christ, and they're happening right now. There's 100 wars going on in the world. And you know what a war means? That means painful suffering for some people. Yeah. Means death for some people. Means crippling for some people. Goodness gracious, war is a terrible thing. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no... in which no man shall see the Lord. Now look at verse 15. Looking diligently. Do you reckon that's something that's emphasized? Look diligently. You don't just take a haphazard look. You don't just, well, just look at it a little bit and then get on something else. Looking diligently, what? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Wow. The best thing that ever happened to you was the grace of God.
Yeah, amen.
Man, I'm telling you, you're saved by grace. You've been kept by grace. You're walking these streets by grace. You're going to heaven by grace. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it.
Amen.
A free gift, a gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that comes by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It is favor upon you that you do not deserve. Man, I rejoice in grace. I don't rejoice in a lot of other things. I rejoice in grace. God gave it to me and I did not deserve it and never will deserve it. But by the grace of God, when I was praying for my two boys in that one year, one of Billy had the eye problems and Eddie had spinal meningitis and was out of his head. I didn't go to God and say, God, because I've preached for the gospel for a couple of years or 15 years, you owe me. He didn't owe me anything.
That's right.
You know what I did? I said, God, you don't owe me a thing. But I ask for your mercy.
Amen.
I'm looking for your grace. There's my boy. He sees out of both those blue eyes. There's my other one down there in Mexico. He just walking as strong as a horse. That's grace.
Amen.
And if you had the grace of God in your life, what about praise?
Amen.
How about praise? The Holy Spirit wants Jesus praised.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants to prompt you, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why not try it?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Looking diligently, looking diligently. Be real careful, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We were just talking before class, I mean before the Sunday school, and it was about the time when I was invited to go to New Orleans to Mardi Gras by one of the coaches in the school that happened to be friends with him, and I refused him. And I said, no. I said, it costs too much. And he said, no, that's all free. It's all free. All the women are free. I said, you don't understand. It would cost me my wife. It would cost me my children and their respect. It would cost me my church. And it might cost me my health. It's too expensive. Too expensive. You need to count the cost sometimes. And you notice in verse 15, it not only says, you can fail of the grace of God. What a tragedy. That you or any one of you would fail of the grace of God. That God's grace couldn't deliver you. That you missed it. You're like Esau. You made the wrong choices, and though you repent in tears, you can't get it back. Any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Oh, listen to me. I've heard some bitter people in my life. I talk to a lot of people. I used to do a lot more visiting than what I do now. But I'm an old man finishing out my run. I've got all these good brothers with me. And they're solid.
Amen.
You know something? God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that I've been given the grace of God. He says, lest any root of bitterness. I don't want to be bitter against anybody. Some of your marriages are in trouble because of bitterness. You can't forgive. You can't ignore. Some of your family situations are the same way. I've known brothers that just didn't talk to each other. I met a man one time in my life, and he's very unusual. I was talking to him. He was an old man. And he said he hadn't talked to his brother in 50 years. Why not? Is it a root of bitterness? Did he cheat you in cards 50 years ago? Did he make fun of you and your dress 50 years ago? Why haven't you talked to him in 50 years? I think family is important, and I think you ought to value family.
Amen.
Lest any root of bitterness, you know, if a root of bitterness troubles you, many will be defiled. I've seen it. I've seen churches split. I've seen families split. I've seen divorces come just because of you won't get rid of that little bit of bitterness. Forgive. You've been forgiven. Think about this. This is a fundamental truth that we know if you're a saved child of God. Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sins and dressed me up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When God looks at me, he doesn't see Lindell, he sees Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't see my credit score, he sees Jesus' credit score.
Amen.
And that's what he did for you.
Amen.
How dumb can you be? How obtuse can you be? Wow. Lest any root of bitterness trouble you, and many be defiled. You may not think that you have a witness very important, but let me tell you what, people are watching you. There's a great cloud of witnesses out there. Now we're going to be talking about a fellow named Esau, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. Can you imagine? You can do some things that you won't be able to repent of. You won't be able to change. No place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. What if you despise the gift of the Spirit of God in you? You despise it. You resist it. You won't follow it. What do you think? Wow. Tell you what, you don't want to be resisting God.
Amen.
You do not want to be resisting God. The Holy Spirit is in you, prompting you to forgive people, to overlook things. Just let it go. How many sins did God have to forgive for you?
Right.
How many sins does he still have to put up with?
Right.
Or you? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Amen.
And you hold against a brother or sister or friend or even, who cares if they don't want to let you change lanes?
Yeah.
You don't have to cuss them out. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to wreck them.
Right.
No. Hey, you have been that selfish.
Right.
Right or wrong?
Amen.
You have been that selfish.
Amen.
That foolish. Well, Esau. Now, I'm sort of like Esau. I have a problem there. I'm sort of Esau. He liked to hunt. And he didn't like to cook. So his twin brother is with his mama, working up all sorts of recipes. And Esau is bored to death. He didn't like to go that way. You know something? You go out and hunt. I'm a hunter. I was a hunter. I don't hunt anything anymore. Hunt the bed. The good old Western movie. Shoot 'em up. Get vengeance. That's what we all get off of that television, isn't it? Isn't that right? I was 19. Wasn't making very much money with the service. Eddie was already here. And Billy was in the hangar getting ready to go on the flight line. I was in the Air Force. And I really wanted to hunt deer. And I went out and bought me an old gun. I didn't have any money. So I probably spent $15 on a gun. It was an English Enfield 303, World War I bolt-action rifle. It looked terrible. That's why I got it for $15. The mechanics looked all good for me, and I wanted to hunt in New Mexico, where they had the mule deer, not the whitetail like we have down here. The mule deer are quite a bit bigger. Well, I probably bought that gun for $15. I don't know. That was enough for me anyway. And my next door neighbor, real good friend, very mild man, was a very great woodworker. He built model airplanes. I'm talking about 6 to 8 foot wingspans. And he flew them with gasoline engines. And he knew things about wood. And so I bring this old scroungy looking gun, all I could afford. And he said, well, you know, that's still a good piece of wood. And so why don't we take care of it and varnish it and make it look good? I said, well, sure. You know, I got the elbow grease. So we started working on it. They took it all completely apart and started working on the wood. He was a master. He really was. He was a very good model plane builder, and he was very good with the wood and working with wood. It had black scars on it. It had scratches. We did with sandpaper. We did with a bottle of a Coke bottle, but the bottom part broke off and the sharp glass there and scraped that wood. Now, all of a sudden, after a lot of do-overs, the wood was right down to beautiful grains in that wood. It's a beautiful piece of stock. We varnished it, sanded it down, varnished it, sanded it down. I put 3, 4, 5 coats. I don't remember how many on it. I wasn't my intelligence. I was just the elbow grease. But the stock wood turned out beautiful. Everybody wanted to buy it off of me. I took it hunting up into the mountains of Ruidosa in northern New Mexico. It's a resort area. And like I said, I was from Texas, and I was hunting on my own dad's farm all my life. So I knew how to hunt, but I wasn't used to mountains. I drove up as far as I could. I went over one canyon and another canyon and another canyon, and all of a sudden, right across the canyon was a 10-point buck mule deer. One of the most beautiful things I ever saw in my life. And I got ready to shoot him. And then I thought, I'm a long way from my car. And if I shoot him over there, I got to go all the way down this canyon and go all the way up to get it and then come all the way down and back. I'll just enjoy him. So I didn't get to use my gun after all. Bless your hearts. Isn't God's creation beautiful?
Amen.
There it was. Now, I did kill a 10-point buck here in San Antonio. Right with my Grand Marquis. He went right through my grill. He went right through my radiator. He went through my fan. And he was a beautiful 10-point buck. That's my hunting story. Esau had a problem. He's been out hunting and things didn't go well for him. He's sick and he's hungry and he's faint. And he comes on his brother's house. And he goes in and he wants a meal. And Jacob's been in the kitchen cooking up a pinto beans and cornbread. And Esau said, man, will you give me some of that? Yeah, if you'll sell me your birthright. Well, what's a birthright gonna do me any good? I don't see any value in the birthright. Sure, I'll sell you my birthright. He sits down and has him a wonderful meal because Jacob was a good cook. I am not a good cook. So Don't ever come over and expect to feed me. I'm even me to feed you. You'd be really, you can bake bread or cookies out of the refrigerator. He later repented, but he never got the blessing. He gave up spiritual things. One thing about Jacob, now Jacob was a scoundrel. He really was. You read the life of Jacob, and man, he's trying to cheat this one or that one, or he's trying to best this one or that one. Wow. But you know what? He wanted spiritual blessings. Have you thought about the spiritual blessings you need?
Yeah, amen.
Have you thought about the spiritual blessings God can give you if you serve Him?
Yeah.
Have you thought about the blessings you are ignoring? By not reading your Bible, by not praying, by not witnessing, by not coming to church, by not whatever. Wow. Jacob went on. And though he was a scoundrel, he was a scoundrel, man. He would stick it to you if he got the chance. He wanted spiritual blessings. And he got his name changed. From Jacob, which is supplanter, to Israel, which is Prince of God. Wow. His family became the Jewish race. Wow.
Yeah.
King David was in his lineage. Jesus Christ was in his lineage. The Savior of the world came through the family of Jacob. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Even though he was a scoundrel, he did value spiritual things. He valued them. You'd be a lot better off if you valued spiritual things.
Amen.
You really would. He found no place for repentance. Well, when Moses brought the children of Israel out in the wilderness, they went to a volcanic mountain. And their God rained down with fire on the mountain, gave them the Ten Commandments, and scared the living daylights out of them. And they had a hard time enduring it. They didn't take it too well. But if you look in verse 22 and 23 and 24 of Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to look at what you're coming to. You got the Holy Spirit of God within you. You've been sealed. You can't get away even if you wanted to get away.
Right.
Look at verse 22. Chapter 12, Hebrews 22. Well, ye are come unto Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God. Oh, wait a minute. The heavenly Jerusalem. Wow. Not this Jerusalem, the heavenly one. And to an innumerable, that means you can't number, company of angels. I don't know how many angels there are. It looks like they're not numberable. And then you're coming to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. You won't be going to 602 Oak Knoll. No, you're going to be going to the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Just because your name's on our roll doesn't mean much.
Right.
If your name's written in heaven, it means a whole lot.
Amen.
Your name's written in heaven. And you're coming to God, the judge of all.
Amen.
How about that?
Yeah.
And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Don't you love just men?
Yeah.
I love just men. I've met many people in life. I have some men I have the greatest respect for, and some I don't too much care for. I love the spiritual men, the friends that I've had over the years. And then you're coming in verse 23 to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. You've been born again?
Yeah.
Bless your heart. The Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. And then look here, you're coming to God, the judge of all. Wow. Where are you going? You're not going to some mountain. You're not going out to some place out there with the thunder and everything scares you all to pieces. You're going to jog to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Won't you be glad when you know the just men that are perfect?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is still lifting up Jesus Christ.
Right.
And He wants to lift Him up in your life.
Amen.
He wants you to have the blessing of thinking on Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, now, think about that a minute. You look at any man, I don't care who he is, and he will fail you somewhere down the line.
Right.
We live with imperfect human beings. We're a mess.
Amen.
How about Jesus? He's not a mess.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen, Lord.
He's the greatest name that's ever been written.
Amen, sir.
He got the greatest salvation ever of any religion in the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I cannot imagine. When I was young, I thought of religion and in the sense of hoping that I would be good enough possibly to make it into heaven.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I would, I wouldn't. I didn't know where the line was going to be drawn, so on and so forth like that. It's not that way at all. That's not true at all.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus paid the debt for all my sin.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He removed my sin from the east to the west. That's the difference. They never meet.
Right.
He buried Him in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more. I sometimes bring something up when I'm talking to God and He says, I've already forgotten that.
Amen.
You told me that a while back and I stopped it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
To the spirit of just men made perfect.
Amen.
Isn't heaven going to be wonderful?
Yeah.
I won't be so much me. And you won't be so much you.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Praise God. I'll tell you, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Oh, look at that. It's a new covenant.
Yeah.
It's not that old covenant. It's not all that old Ten Commandments. It's not all those animals that are being sacrificed. No, no, no. This is a new covenant.
Amen.
You call upon me. You take me as your Lord and your Savior. I'll forgive all your sins. I'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. I'll bury them in the depths of the sea. They'll be remembered against you no more.
Amen.
I'm going to take you to heaven where there's streets of gold.
Amen.
I'm going to take you to heaven where there's no more sin and no more sorrow and no more pain. And the evening news won't even count.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing.
Yes, amen.
To the spirit of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator.
Amen.
I know some people really get offended when you quote these verses. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that's clear, no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Yes, there is a Savior.
Yep. Amen.
There is only one Savior.
Praise the Lord.
It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Honor Him. Lift Him up. Get a positive attitude because you're headed for heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Verlaine lived 74 years of a good life. And then she had 3 absolutely terrible years. You know what she was looking forward to? Dying and going to be with the Lord and having no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tiredness. Wow. I look at the news and sometimes it really distresses me. I feel for these people. They're running. Some of them, they aren't all cartel people. Some of these people live in neighborhoods where they are controlled by gang warfare and stuff like that. Some of them live in countries where they don't stand a chance. I remember when I went down and finally lived in a country like Mexico and Guatemala, I could understand why somebody would swim the river. I could understand why they would sneak in and maybe pay somebody to help them, not knowing any better. But you know something? That's not the way. Jesus Christ took us all. Sons of God. Wow. God is my Father.
Amen.
I'm full of the Spirit of God. I don't have to make an appointment to see God.
Amen. Wow. Yeah.
I can walk in any day, any hour, at any time.
That's right.
I can talk to Him on my pillow at night when I can't sleep. I can talk to Him in all sorts of situations. And you know what? I am always welcome.
Amen.
I've been to some houses that when I got there, I wasn't welcome.
Yeah.
You know it. I've had them inside the living room and I can see through the glass they're there, but they won't answer the door because of who's knocking on the door. I'm not beloved by everybody because I'm a preacher, you understand? Some people hate your guts. They don't want to be witnessed to. I'm welcome at the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm welcome to my Heavenly Father. He wants to forgive my sins. He wants to clear my mind. He wants to give me inspirational thoughts. He wants to give me comfort and peace. Wow. How blessed are you? Don't play with spiritual truth.
Amen.
God gave you some spiritual truth. Welcome it.
Amen.
Find out about it. Just see what God wants you to do. God may have a purpose for you that you don't know yet. And there may be somebody out here that you can reach. Somebody that your testimony will be a blessing to them. Well, I think that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in this generation. I think what He's doing in your life. And I think you ought to let Him do it.
Amen.
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 God bless you. I gave you 5 minutes.